Advent season, we've been thinking about what Advent means in a world of overload. We've been asked to pause, to reflect and prepare. Today we're going to be asked to apply. But let's recap Advent so far. All the way back on the 30th of November, Craig asked us to pause amongst the pressures of the season as we looked at Psalm 46. Have we found time this Advent, this Christmas, to be still and know God? Then on the 7th of December, Craig asked us to reflect on God's faithfulness as we opened up Lamentations chapter 3. Have we experienced the unceasing, steadfast love of the Lord this Advent? Have we found new mercies from the Lord this Christmas? On the 14th of December, Jeremy called for us to prepare the way of the Lord as we spent time in Luke 3 and Isaiah 40. He left us with two questions. Are we ready to go? That is, to preach the good news to the world. And his second question was, are we ready to go? Are we ready to die and to be with the Lord? There's been a lot that we've reflected on through the Sunday messages this Advent. Have you taken time to ponder them further for yourself? We had a wonderful kids' takeover nativity last Sunday. So today is our fourth Advent message. Now it's time for us to apply what we've heard, to take our reminders of the hope, love, joy, and peace at Christmas and prepare to apply those into our lives in the coming year. But maybe some of you are thinking, it isn't Advent anymore. Or shouldn't we be taking down all these decorations? Or perhaps it's time to start thinking about New Year's Eve, or maybe even planning for Easter. Let's address those concerns. Advent is the period when we prepare for Christmas, when we prepare for Jesus' arrival. At Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' incarnation, his coming as a baby, born among us, Emmanuel, God with us. But we still anticipate the day when Jesus will return. We still prepare for Jesus' arrival. Friends, we live in Advent. So although this is our last Advent message this year, we should always be anticipating the coming of King Jesus. So what about the decorations? Have we finished celebrating the good news of Jesus? Shouldn't we always be in party mode as we think about Jesus coming into the world and as we think about the fact that he's coming back? But isn't it time to start thinking about the next events in our calendar? Maybe that's fair. And as we look forward to the coming new year, are we thinking about what we might want to change? Maybe we're thinking about New Year's resolutions. Maybe we've already put up on the wall a calendar for next year and it's starting to fill up awfully fast. Maybe we're part of the events team and as soon as the live nativity was packed away, we're already starting to plan the Easter extravaganza. Life is busy, isn't it? Are we feeling overloaded? Well, we've paused, we've reflected, and we've prepared. Now it's time to apply. Now, as well as the word apply, two Bible verses were suggested for us to look at this morning. And the first should be familiar to us, as it's found in the first chapter of James. James chapter 1 and verse 22. but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, the way things have worked out, I spoke on this verse in our James series just before the summer holidays. And I hope at this point that most of us are pretty familiar with the book of James as a whole. If you want to listen or re-listen to that message or any of the others in the James series, they're all on the church YouTube channel. But let me give you a very quick summary of the context for this verse. When James was talking about the word, he was talking about God's entire revelation to us, the full gospel message and the whole of the Bible. It's good to hear the gospel message, but it only becomes good news to us individually when we believe it, when we accept it, when we put into action what it calls us to do. We need to apply the word of God to our lives and let it become implanted within us. The Bible only becomes a life-changing book if we apply what we read. But we need to be careful in our reading and study of the Bible to first understand the context and what would have been understood by the original audience. We can then come to understand the timeless truths of a passage and apply them in our own lives. We need to read, hear, speak, meditate upon what God has to say to us, to diligently study the Word of God. Now, since I spoke at length on this verse in James back in July, let's spend a little more time looking at our second verse. And maybe some of you have heard that Paul and James have different opinions with regard to works. So you'll be glad to know that our second verse is in the book of Romans in chapter 2. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. That sounds very similar to the verse in James, doesn't it? And through the magic of PowerPoint, we can look at them both together. But let's read some more of the context in Romans to be sure. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Romans. And as soon as Paul has opened the letter and spoken of his longing to preach the good news in Rome, just as he has elsewhere, Paul then says that God's wrath is against all ungodliness of all people. Why? Because God has clearly shown himself, his very divine nature in the creation of the world. There is no excuse, Paul says, for ignoring God. We can all see the revelation of God in creation. Now, perhaps we find it difficult to look at a beautiful sunset and instantly form a complete understanding of vicarious substitutionary atonement. Or maybe watching a waterfall cascade and suddenly having a full and complete understanding of soteriology and eschatology. But looking out at the wonderful design of the world around us makes it impossible for us to honestly say that there is no God. Even the pain and suffering that we see in the world means we have to say that there is a just and good creator who has made us and has made us to recognize what is good. Everyone has the ability to acknowledge that God is and therefore worship God from what has been revealed to them. But from Adam and Eve down to us today, each of us chooses to ignore what has been revealed to us and to do things our own way, to worship the creation above the creator. We are all without excuse. And to those of us who have the revealed word of God, who who have been given the blessing of holding in our hands God's own revelation about himself, written for our understanding. We need to understand that with this knowledge comes a responsibility. Let's pick up the detail in Romans chapter 2 and beginning at verse 6. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. But when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. There's so much in these opening chapters of Romans which aligns with what we've been studying in James. It'd be a really interesting study to go through and to compare the different emphases. The different emphases that each brings out. In the wider passage that we've just read, Paul says that even those who do not have the revelation of Scripture, those who have had no teaching from the law, are able to do what the law requires. That God has written the law on the heart of every person. That each one of us has a conscience to tell us what is right and wrong, and what we should do. There are those who serve God to the best of their ability, even though they have never read the Bible. These are the ones who, when they hear the gospel for the first time, embrace it with open arms, for they know it to be true. Both Paul in Romans and James in his letter state quite clearly that head knowledge will not save you. That if you believe and accept God in your heart, then your actions will bear witness to this. Head, heart, hands. Okay, we have our two verses for today. We have the context of those verses. James and Paul, it seems, agree. But didn't Jesus say anything on this subject?
Lots.
But one little parable is probably enough to tell us what we need to know this morning. Turn back with me to Matthew and chapter 7. Now, some of the kids, I think, have got colouring sheets on this parable, and maybe some of them might even draw their own pictures of it for us. It's in Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read from verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus speaking, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now this parable is familiar to us all, I'm sure. We could all launch into the Sunday school song right now. But would we have remembered what Jesus said that these two builders represented? What the difference between them was? Jesus said that both builders were like those who had heard the words of Jesus. The difference between the two? The wise man does the words of Jesus. James and Paul were just echoing the words of Jesus when they spoke about hearing and doing. Jesus, the very word of God, came into the world. He said that if we were wise, then we will hear his word and we will do it. Now, there's a unifying theme here. And if we had time, we could trace this thread all the way through the Bible. That those who are wise don't just hear God's word, they put it into action. So, to review how to put God's word into action, let us return to that one word theme to tie all of this together. Apply. What does it mean to apply? Let's take a look in the dictionary. Now, yes, I still own a physical dictionary. And yes, this may well be the first time I'm using it this year. Now, there are five meanings that Colin has given to the word apply. And I think that they all apply to us today. So let's take them in reverse. I'm going to put this down, it's really heavy. Let's take them in reverse order, and in between each definition, I'll pause to allow you to reflect and then prepare for the next. Meaning number five. To apply oneself is to concentrate one's efforts or faculties. Are we applying ourselves to read and study what God has given us? How much do we concentrate on the Bible? Who was here in October when I was preaching on James chapter 4? Do you remember that I put up a weekly planner on the screen? Who was challenged by that? I know I was. But what have we changed since? Have we cut down on anything? Are we setting aside more time to spend with God? Are we giving more of our time to read and study the Bible and to pray? Do we still try and cram reading the Bible into a few minutes a day? Or are we devoting time each week to God? Do we spend time meditating on Scripture, chewing it over so that we truly understand what it has to tell us? Do you need some additional motivation for reading the Bible? Think for a moment about how the God who spoke things into being has now spoken to us in this book. Meaning number four. To apply also means to be relevant or appropriate. Do we believe that to be true of what we read in the Bible? Do we believe that it's relevant and appropriate for us today? I do. But that doesn't mean that we can just flip to a random passage and expect it to speak directly into our current situation. If we want to really understand Scripture and know just how relevant and appropriate it is for us today, We need to take more than one verse at a time. We need to see each verse in the context of the passage and the book in which it is found. We need to be able to listen to what the original audience would have heard, to understand what God's message was to them. We can then look at what the timeless truth of a book, a passage, a verse is for all time, and then we will see how relevant and appropriate it is for us in our lives today. Meaning number three, to apply means to put onto a surface. Now bear with me on this one because it might get slightly tenuous. But are we applying what we read to our own surfaces? And what do I mean by that? What I mean is, can the truth of God's word be seen on our faces and in our lives? Are we so immersed in God's word that it causes an outward change in us? Like the song we were singing earlier, are we allowing God to sanctify us, to change us more and more into the likeness of Jesus? That's what God says that he wants to do. Are you ready for it? Meaning number two, to apply means to put to practical use. That's the key for us this morning. Are we merely hearers of the word, or are we doers? Are we applying what we read in our lives? Is this a practical book for us? Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not a self-help book. Quite the opposite. This book teaches that in our own strength, we are helpless. It's also not an instruction manual. Tomorrow morning, we cannot flip to the page titled Instructions for Monday the 29th of December 2025, because that page doesn't exist. But that doesn't mean that you won't find both help and instruction within the pages of your Bible. You will. But you need to be like the Bereans who search the scriptures daily. In the wilderness, Jesus rebuked Satan with scripture, saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Wouldn't it be great to go and meditate on that verse in Deuteronomy 8 and then learn to feast on the word of God each day? Finally, meaning number one, to apply means to make a formal request for something. Now you might be thinking that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about this morning. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit who inspired this wonderful book is the same Holy Spirit that God says will help us who understand it. And we just have to ask. We can ask the Holy Spirit to give us a deeper hunger for God's word. We can ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as we read. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand